And you can read it up. He say, for in Him all things were created. In Him all things hold together. He is sovereign over the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. He has supremacy over everything. He is. Everything revolves around Him. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord and my Rock. Amen. Friends, I greet you once again in Jesus' wonderful name. And I want to continue in my part 2 concerning the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And we have read in Colossians 1:15 to say the first point that we were busy with and is still busy with is He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And I want to continue with that this morning. And I trust that you've listened yesterday. And I trust it was a blessing to your heart. And we stop with a saying that someone said. He said, we can be sure that when the world loves Jesus, it is because they have made Him into something He is not. And I leave you with a question yesterday in part 1 to say, does the world love me or does the world hate me because of Jesus Christ in my life? And I want to continue there. My dear listener, I want you to listen to what this man has said. And I want you to process the question that I ask you. Because I ask it myself. If the world loves me, you can remember what James has to say about the world. And I'm going to read it to you, and I know that you know that. He say in James 4 verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Another translation will say, you make yourself an enemy of God. I want you to process what the Word of God say. If you submit yourself, if I submit myself under the authority of the Word of God, its supremacy, its clarity, its inspiration and all those wonderful attributes of the Bible, then I have to acknowledge and bow down to say this is an absolute truth. That if I am in friendship, if I am in love with this world, I am committing spiritual idolatry. And I became an enemy of God. And Jesus Christ has no supremacy, no preeminence in my life. I want you to rethink what the Bible says. In 1 John chapter 2, nearly come and say exactly the same thing. And listen to what he says. He says here in 1 or in 1 John 2 verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. What is going on here? Well, when you read Colossians 1:15, Jesus is above everything, and He wants to be everything. He wants to be in your and my life supreme, and He wants to rule supreme. And as He stands in relation with God, If the world would love you and me, it means there's something terribly wrong. It is not that we will go out deliberately and make the world hate us. No, Jesus said it will come spontaneous. Because the gospel that you proclaim, proclaiming the supremacy of Christ, and that already by itself is so offended and offending, that in John 6 many people were offended, and there's until today people that is being offended by the gospel and by the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read in Mark chapter 4 verse 35 to 41 the whole story about Jesus calms the storm, and when disciples is crossing over the lake to the other side, the storm comes up and Jesus was sleeping in the boat, and the waves were so terrible and the winds was terrible that the disciples feared for their lives that they're going to drown, and they wake Jesus up and say, "Lord, don't you care? It's not time for sleeping, you know. It's time to get spiritually now." My paraphrasing. And what did Jesus do? He calmed the storm. He rebuked the winds. And he turned to them and he actually reprimanded them. And then the question, listen to the question of the guys in the boat. Who is this? And maybe you have to ask this question yourself. Who the heck is this? He's got the power over nature or forces that has been, never been seen or witnessed in no man's life. Who is this? Do we know such a man? This is the exact representation of God. The Bible says he is the image of the invisible God. Not just God. This God, when you read it in the Old Testament, he has concealed himself always with clouds and thunder and lightning, and even Moses that has such a close walk with God, couldn't dare to see him for who he is. And as Moses say, "Lord, show me your glory, show me your face, show me who you are." Well, if I can paraphrase that portion of what God said to him, "Moses, if I have to show you who I am, I have to kill you. No one can see me as I am and still live." Guess what? There was one man who was and who saw him for who he is, and who come to represent him for exactly who he is, and that was Jesus Christ. That was him. I like what one of the commentators say, a man called Lightfoot. He say, "An image can be a representation, but a representation, if it is perfect enough, can also become a manifestation." And this representation was perfect enough, the image of the invisible God, that Jesus come and manifest God. You read again in John 14 verse 7 to 10. Jesus said to his disciples, especially to Philip, "You see me, you see my Father. What you see is God." In John 1, as I said in my first part, in John 1 verse 1, and don't lose me, please, don't lose me now. He say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has made. Nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The darkness don't know what to do with the light. The darkness couldn't overcome the light." Verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." What is going on here? Jesus has represent not just God, not just a representation. He come and manifest him. Wow. Look at Luke 10 verse 22. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal God. You want to know something about God the Father? Study Jesus. Look at Him. And I want you to see the supremacy in these verses, in Colossians 1, in these few verses. And you can read it up. He say, for in Him all things were created. In Him all things hold together. He is sovereign over the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. He has supremacy over everything. He is. Everything revolves around Him. He is the center of the universe. He is the center of the Bible. No doubt about it. Doesn't matter what you believe. You can burn the Bible. You can throw it out of your house. And you can say whatever you like against God. It will not change the fact that He is the great I Am. But not just that. He's also the firstborn over all creation. Firstborn. And it sounds like that He's been born like every one of us. Been born out of, you know. No, that's not what it means. Because this word has a twofold meaning. It means He preceded all of creation. Long before creation was ever there, He already were there. He is sovereign. The second thing of this word, firstborn, is sovereign over all of creation. And sovereign means He has a world. He decides. He has degrees. That is His relation. And if I can come with this to say the firstborn of all, over all creation, the second point is His relationship with creation. He is. Verse 16 and 17. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Everything, friends, listen, my dear listener, everything has an origin. There is nothing that has been created and can be created but doesn't have a creator. The watch that you maybe have on your arm right now, there's a creator for that. The car that you ride in to come to church or go to work or to the shop, someone has created that. So the whole of creation and its creator is God through Jesus. And the evolutionist denies that because they are blind. And there's no one so blind as those who have eyes and don't want to see. And there's no one so deaf for those who have ears and don't want to hear. Because it is hard to handle the truth. It is hard to accept the truth. People should have been happy and glad that there is such a creator, that we are not being created out of a pot of soup or from the apes. Romans 11:36, Paul burst out of in his doxology. And he say, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Read in Colossians 1:16, for by Him, verse 17, in Him, verse 20, through Him. Friends, listen very carefully. Jesus did not come to be before everything else. He did not come or came to be before everything else, but that He is before everything else. There's a difference. No, He is the great I Am. In John 8, verse 56 to 58, talking to the religious people of His time, rejecting Jesus' supremacy, rejecting His as Messiah, rejecting His Lordship, rejecting His claims over them. He said to them, your father Abraham rejoices at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. And these religious people of his time say in verse 57, you are not yet 50 years old. The Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? Man, there's something wrong with you. And listen to verse 58. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. Oh, friends, I don't know if this thing gives you goosebumps or ghost bumps or turkey bumps, whatever bumps. The one that talked to Moses, the great I am. I am He. And if you look at the stars and you can't even count them, and the galaxies that is there, that you ever never discovered all of them yet, I am He who created everything. That is the supremacy of Jesus Christ in creation. He is the creator. He sustained them. And He gives the laws of nature. He gives them, and by those laws that He created, He maintained them and sustained them and give tides and times and seasons for everything with such intelligence, with such precision. The sun is not too far from the earth, otherwise we were frozen. The sun is not too close to the earth, otherwise we will burn up, just at the right place where we can enjoy it. That is what Paul wants to bring home to us, that He is supreme over everything. He is God. He's that exact representation. But it doesn't stop there. Paul continue and say, there's more. And then he come here in verse 18 to say that He, Jesus Christ, this supreme being, is the head of the body, the church. I want to stop there for a while. He is supreme as the head over His body. What is His body? Now, His body, according to Paul in Corinthians, is being made up of people, children of God. We call them, or like in Greek, say, ecclesia, the called out ones, those that Jesus saved out of this world, those who have no merit in themselves, those sinners deadly rotten to the core. Before the foundation of the earth, He has decided that those who put their faith in His Son, in Jesus Christ, will be saved. And He will dwell within them. And His Spirit will dwell within them. And they will become the body of Christ. Each member, each person will be a member of that body, while Jesus Christ is the head. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. This is what Paul said Jesus is. You know, and I know many times, and it can be taken as a joke as well. Well, for some ladies, they don't take it as a joke, because they say many times, because of their rebellious heart, many of them do not want to submit to their husbands, because they say, no, my husband might be the head of the house, but I am the neck, and I will turn the head where I want it. And I know many of them say it as a joke, and I accept it that it is a joke. But for many, you can see it's not a joke. You can see it for the feminists, those many who are man-haters, and I talk in general, those who can't submit under their husbands are like this. I will turn their head where I want it. And madam, you find yourself on dangerous places. You walk on thin ice because you touch the body of Christ. You are supposed to be one part of the body of Christ, a member. You are not the head. You are not even the neck. You might be the feet. You might be the hand. You might be the ear. You might be the eye. But you are not the head or the neck. God has placed each and every one of us where He sees fit. And He is the head supreme over all of His church. And the church of Christ is not a denomination. It's all of those who has the watermark of the Holy Spirit inside of them, that they've been born out of Him. Not born a Christian from the physical birth out of our mothers. No. We are all born sinners. Lost, alienated from God. That is what Paul say here in Colossians 1 as well. Because it says there in verse 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. That is your condition. That was my condition. Before we get saved, before Jesus Christ saved us, and we have to bow down to His Lordship because He's the head, supreme. And what does that mean for us? Again, a few things. That Jesus is the head of us. That Jesus governs and rules over His church. That Jesus has authority over each and everyone's life of His people. And that His people have to bow down to His Lordship. We are His body. And each one of us are the members of that body. That body of Him consists of the arms, the hands, the feet, the legs. There is the external organs that you can see, the eyes, the mouth, the nose, the ears. And there are the eternal organs, those organs that you can't see. People that work behind the scenes. And Paul makes an analogy of such a body to the body of Christ. And this means that every member of the body of Christ, that they have to submit themselves under Jesus' authority. Every member of His body, of the body of Christ, is vitally united to the head. No man is an island. It is not me and Jesus, it is us and Jesus. Because we are family of the same household of God. The body is gifted with diversity to edify one another, to pray for one another, to lift one another up, to build one another's faith. Each one is mutually connected with one another. No man is an island. Each is necessary for the growth to be healthy and well. Did you hear that? Healthy. I don't proclaim and I don't preach prosperity. Yes, God wants to give. God wants to bless His children. But people, my dear beloved child of God, God is more interested in your health and your well-being than in your prosperity. For many people, it's only when they follow Jesus is what they can get out of Him. Go and read John chapter 6, and you see how Jesus nailed them, how they searched for Jesus, seeking for Him, and when they found Him, they asked Him, who gave you the right to come this side of the lake? And Jesus said, you don't follow me. You don't seek me for who I am. You don't seek to follow my lordship in your life. You do not seek me to bow down to my lordship and to my authority in your life and to my decrees and my commandments. You follow me because you think I am a sugar daddy. You think you can get from me. That's all you want. You want to look for my hand. What can I give you today? Instead of looking for my heart, I want to give you eternal life. And I want you to bless you with all spiritual blessing what there is in the heavenly realms. But the only thing that you're looking for me is what you can get from me. Oh, people, and there are many who listen to me now who is guilty of that. You see, each day, if Jesus is supreme in our lives, each day that we live for His glory. Every little fruit that my life produces must be produced for His glory. Every day I need to do His will, filled with His wisdom and spiritual understanding given by His Holy Spirit. I want to conclude in my second part. How are we doing? How is our belief system? How is our worldview concerning the supremacy of Jesus Christ? You see, when Paul come and he say in the latter days, in this perilous days, in this time that we live in, that is so devastated, he say here, have nothing to do with such people. Have nothing to do with them. Titus 1, and I want to read it for you. And I know that maybe you did read it. Listen to verse 16. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Did you hear that? That is cheap grace. That is where Jesus has no supremacy. That's a life where Jesus has no supremacy. And that means there is no lordship of Christ. There's no new life. There's no new birth. There's no eternal life. And there is no God in that life. May God really bless our hearts. And may He really convict us if this truth is not true in our lives. That He has the full right and authority and supremacy in your life and in my life. Let us declare that. Let us reflect that in the communities and societies where we live in. So help us, God. Thank you for your word, Lord. Confirm it in our hearts.